You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I'm a staff writer at IndyCornrows.com, and one of the co-hosts of the Locked On Pacers podcast. On today's episode, it's a Miles Turner player recap for his 2017-18 season. Yesterday, I did Victor Oladipo, then do Miles Turner, and next week, we'll probably do Darren Collison and whoever Tony chooses, probably Bojan would be my guess. Those will be next week's previews, but you have to tune back in for those next week. You'll stop hearing me do these all. Tony will do a few mixing up, but today, get me again on this one from Miles Turner, who had, I would say, one of the more disappointing seasons for a Pacers player. I have more on that after this. Miles Turner's 2017-18 season should have been the next step. He should have progressed. He had a very solid rookie year, a phenomenal sophomore season. And the next logical step was him to go from the 14-a-point-a-game guy he was in 2016-2017 to probably an 18-to-20-point guy in the 2017-18 season. However, instead, he dropped down to 12.7 points a game. His usage rate was relatively the same over the two seasons, 19.5 in 2016-17 and 20% in 2017-18. His overall shots per game actually dropped by almost a full shot. He actually did increase his three-point percentage, but his field goal percentage dropped, and he suffered, missed 17 games, only started in 62 games, played in 65 due to an injury to his elbow and a concussion early in the season that really threw him off his groove. Really, most of the season, he was at times seemed like replaced almost in the fourth quarter by Domantas Sabonis. But at the end of the day, Turner is still the best building block that Indiana Pacers have if they ever want to be a championship contender in 2 to 3 seasons. And that's why this offseason, what he does this offseason is critical for the future of the Indiana Pacers. But reflecting back on a 2017-18 season, I would say it was a disappointment in the sense that he didn't make the next step, but I wouldn't be too down on it as like he's not going to take the next step. You know, he might have had a, you know, they talk about the sophomore slump. Well, this was kind of the junior year slump per se for Turner. But if he's able to stay out of injury issues, able to avoid the concussions and the fluke elbow injuries, I mean, a lot of his injuries he had this season were just sort of like things you don't expect. The elbow is what happens in baseball a ton. It happened on a dunk in this season's where he kind of is the Tommy John kind of thing, the UCL. So, and concussion obviously is more common in football and hockey than obviously it is in basketball. If he can avoid those type of injuries and consistently play 75 games, starting all 75 of them or even 74 of them, whatever it is, then I think he can get back on track towards more of that guy we thought he could be at his end six, let's say even a 16-point-a-game score. I think my goal for him is to get to 16, 18 points next season with 10 rebounds, but he's got to improve on the offensive end in a couple areas, and he obviously needs to become a better rebounder. You know, he's not a bad rebounder. I wouldn't say he's like, you know, but for his size, he is not the best rebounder you expect for a guy who was basically 7 feet tall with a huge wingspan who has actually gotten a ton bigger. I mean, he was 245 this year, I think. I mean, you definitely see he's gotten bigger, but he needs to work on a few things. You know, this season we saw him sort of take that next step in terms of three-point shooting. He shot 35% from three on 2.5 attempts. That's really good. That's kind of where I want him to be. Probably even more attempts per game. A guy like Marcus Saul averaged almost, I think, 4 attempts per game. Look it up real quick. But that's who you kind of want. You want him to sort of, Marcus Saul averaged 4.4 three-point attempts in the 2017-18 season on 34% shooting. That's where you want Turner to be. It's not a guy who was shooting 4 to 5 threes a game because he was really good from there. I thought he was sort of, when he's in his groove, he's a knockdown three-point shooter at times. He can be just as lethal as anybody on the floor. And then we saw that in the playoffs when he was hit a couple three-point shots. I mean, he shot pretty well from three in game 4, I believe, and where he was 3 of 4. He just felt like the kind of guy who you just kept feeding the ball, could hit his three consistently. It's just about getting his shots. And some of that is not his fault. Some of that is the point guards around him not setting him up that well, the offense not set up to him to succeed, not running the pick and pop as much as they should. And that's where sort of I think he'll get better is he'll have another year on his belt with Oladipo, another year with Darren Collison and Corey Joseph, and that's where he's got to get better. He's got to sort of have the type of offensive playmaking ability where he can get the ball on his own and score on his own. You know, maybe he needs the first action. He needs the first pass in or the pick and pop, whatever it is. But you got to be able to sort of, after that, trust him with the ball to score, to make the right move. And sometimes he wasn't that consistent from there. In the playoffs especially, they would run the pick and roll, and then the team would double team Oladipo, and Oladipo would toss pass to Turner, and he'd get knocked out of his hands. Or, you know, at times Turner seemed hesitant on the pass, or didn't know whether he wanted to pass or shoot at times late in games, and so he was very kind of shaky and hesitant, and that was an issue for him. And that's where he needs to improve. You know, he needs to get better at just being a better decision maker. I even since his first season in the league, where I remember there was a time where he went the wrong way on a pick and roll out of a timeout that was supposed to, you know, he was supposed to cut, let's say, I think left, and he cut right instead. You know, he set the pick and he rolled the wrong way to the rim. He was supposed to roll around. He rolled through the defender in some sense, and it cost the pitch of the game. And it was sort of like one of the things chalked up to him being a rookie and whatever. But, you know, he's going to be in his fourth season. He no longer can make those kind of dumb mistakes. He's got to be able to, you know, get the ball and know he's got this option. You know, he gets the ball out of a double team, out of a pick and roll, whatever, and he has to know, I have three options. It's, I got Bogdan in the corner, I got Thad cutting to my left, or I can go right to the rim. And he got better at that. He's done a decent job of, when given the opportunity and the space, putting the ball on the ground and going to the rim and making a play around the rim. He's got a nice little, you know, kind of loop around Euro step layup sort of, because he's so big and so long, he can sort of slide around defenders to try to get him to call for the offensive foul. He doesn't really dive into the defenders on the offensive end when he has the ball on the ground. But he's got to get better at that. He also has to get better at posting up players. I mean, you know, if they get the switch on him and get him on a small defender, he's got to be able to take that defender and back him down and put him in his place and score. You know, he has a decent fadeaway jump shot, but he should be able to sort of just body his way around guys and almost dunk on them and sort of just impose his will. I mean, he is a huge player. I mean, he's 6'11", 245, with a wingspan, I would guess, of 7'2", 7'3". He's a big dude who should be kind of a fearful force in offense. You know, I think on the defensive end, he's feared sometimes because he's such a good shot blocker, and that's where he's really sort of is able to stay on the court constantly because he's a pretty good defender. Yeah, he needs to get better in space, but he's such a good rim protector, and he's pretty good at, you know, squaring up on guys when they're in the lane. He's not great when you get him switch out in the perimeter, but he can hold his own a little bit. He can do better. You know, he gets called for fouls sometimes, and that's kind of annoying. And he gets called for some ticky-tacky fouls that probably shouldn't be fouls, and he's officiated a little different than other players. But overall, he's a positive defender, and that's how he stays on the court. But if he can put, you know, even an 18-point-a-game type of score with his defensive prowess, he becomes all of a sudden one of the best centers in the league. I mean, you look at a guy like Karl-Anthony Towns, yes, great offensive player, but a terrible defender. I mean, I think if Turner's able to put 18 points a game, he's maybe considered on the class of a cat because he's so good on the defensive end, such a positive. I mean, a guy even like Porzingis, who's a really good scorer, is not that great on defense, and that's where he's sort of a negative. Turner is never a negative on the defensive end, but he's not been a positive offensively, and that's where it's really kind of dragged down his stock and his value. But I think he has a good shot of sort of turning the script around next season. I think he'll be able to sort of get a full offseason under him, probably hopefully work out with Oladipo a bunch, kind of get that chemistry even more. I mean, we saw with Sabonis and Oladipo, they have really good chemistry. I wonder if Turner will get some of that sort of going, and hopefully he'll work on his post game. I think the Pacers will do a really good job of developing centers. I mean, we saw with Roy Hibbert, even going way back, like the Jermaine O'Neals, he kind of played power forward center, I guess, but that kind of player, or even like the Rick Smiths, they develop centers very well. It's just a good job of bringing in sort of raw talent, big guys, and kind of mold them into at least decent players. I know Hibbert's controversial, but he was great in the playoffs. But that's kind of what Turner can become. You know, Turner doesn't need to be 30-point-a-game guy. I think he can be. I think he has the offensive tools, if he can develop a post-a-game and how to put the ball on the floor a little more, to be that kind of player. But 18 points a game is enough. But they also give him the opportunities. And that's kind of the next part of this, where Oladipo and Collison and the guards need to trust and be able to feed Turner the ball. 9.8 shots a game this season, 10.7 last season. Like, the expectation was, with Paul George gone, he would take some of those shots and maybe get to like 12 to 15 shots per game. What happened was Oladipo came in and sucked all those shots up. But that's what he's got to do. He's got to get to 14 shots a game, 15 shots a game. I'd love to see him at 15 shots a game, really. That's the number I'd love to see him at. You know, 12 to 15 is the range he wants to be at, because if he's going to shoot 36, 37% from three, he should take four of those. Combined with, he should be able to get three or four post-ups, and then a couple more putbacks, and then a couple more just setups down low kind of thing, and that should get him to the 15-shot number, close to it. And if he can do that, and they trust him to do that, then that's I mean, he becomes kind of like a real offensive threat, and it sort of changes the way teams guard the Pacers. You know, teams can't trap Oladipo as much because they're so worried about Turner on, you know, the double team deep, Turner's going to be wide open. And so that's what they got to do. If Turner can kind of be a threat, it opens up the game for everybody else. And Turner is such a good stretch five that he is sort of the unicorn and kind of can shoot the three-point shot. You know, I think he's better from his corner three. He's not that great from the corner three, it feels like sometimes, but he's really good from the top of the key. But he's got sort of that potential, and it's just capitalizing on that, honestly, for him. It's just capitalizing on his potential. This season, I thought the best stretch I saw from him was sort of this 3-4 game stretch he had in February, where he put up 24, 17, 19, and 25, and had two double-doubles, especially that Boston game where he had 19 and 10. I thought that was his best game of the season. He shot up 8-13. He won the game for the Pacers in that game-winning back down on Marcus Morris. I think that stretch was his best stretch. I mean, he's got to do that more consistently, obviously. He's got to kind of stay out of foul trouble at times. That can hurt him, you know. In the Boston game, he had 4 fouls. In the game after that, Philly, where he had 25, he had 5 fouls. That's a problem. And then I think one of his other really great games this year really came early on in the season against Miami, where he just, it felt like, thoroughly dominated Hassan Whiteside. 11-14, 25-7. I mean, that was an awesome game. I remember watching that game with my dad at, I want to say we were at some restaurant in Carmel, and it was just like, he just came out, and you could tell he had it in his eyes. He was shooting. He's hitting every one of his jumps that felt like to start the game. He was feeling it. They're giving him 3 points. They were feeding him constantly. Like, when Turner is kind of feeling it and they keep feeding him, it's awesome because it's really sort of like, oh, it's like extra because he's so good in defensive and you don't expect him to do that offensively. But the problem is it feels like the Pacers kind of go away from that at times. I think some of this is the offensive structure needs to be built more to getting him more shots, but it goes hand-in-hand with he has to prove he's more consistent. And that would be why he's not getting the shots, because in practice and things like that, coaching staff doesn't say, oh, we need to consistently feed Turner because he's not that good, or we don't trust him offensive that much. Like, Bojan gets a ton of shots because I think in practice, Bojan looks awesome. I mean, I think Bojan's every open three he takes in practice. I feel like he's that kind of player. So Turner might not do that as much, but in the game, Turner sometimes plays better. Bojan's had some better games than Turner. Turner has a better game than Bojan, but that's the kind of thing he has to do. He has to really show it in practice and, you know, consistently show that he can be a good scorer and a trusted scorer and trust with the ball in his hands. Because if he can't, then you're talking about this other spectrum where what it really becomes his peak. If he's this 9-shot-a-game kind of guy, I don't know if he ever can reach the ceiling of what Larry Bird once called he could be the best player in the league. I don't know about that, but he could be one of the best centers in the league. I think he could be the notch below this Anthony Davis-level center, you know, Boogie Cousins-level center. Those are kind of the two best centers in my mind. Horford's up there, obviously. But he could be that, you know, I think he could be a Horford-type player if he just sort of gets out of his own head and improves his offensive game. I mean, I think he'd be better offensive than Horford, probably not in the passing game as Horford is, but he has that potential to be one of those great centers. He just has to sort of put it together. He has all the raw talent, all the raw skills. Everything is together. Just has to put it together. And I'm optimistic that he will, just because I think he knows what he needs to do. Oladipo is a pretty big influence on him. And Oladipo is one of the hardest working players in the league, I believe. And sort of think he'll be an influence on Turner to, hey, I'm at the gym. Come meet me at the gym right now. We're going to whatever, play one-on-one, or work with my trainer, whatever it is. Hopefully that will be some influence on him. And hopefully, you know, even right now as I'm speaking, hopefully he's in a gym working on his post-up game, working on a three-point shot, whatever it is, because I think he has the potential to be really an all-star, if not all-NBA player someday. I'd love to know your guys' thoughts on Miles Turner. If you want to, you can tweet at me at FreedmanAdam5 and give me all your thoughts on Turner. I know he's a very divisive player, to say the least. You know, I know he brings out different emotions in people. I know some people really love him. Some people won't defend him constantly. Some people think he stinks and he's the worst and he can't stop making turnovers and mistakes. I'd love to know what you have to say. So you can tweet me at FreedmanAdam5 or tweet our show at Locked On Pacers. Let me know what you think. Maybe I'll bring some of this up on our Monday podcast with Tony. Like I said, we'll be back next week with 3 more shows. Probably Darren Collison and Bojan player recaps, season recaps, and then our usual Monday show. And Tony and I will probably talk about some of the NBA playoffs. I'm thinking right now, maybe, what does the future of the Pacers look like in the Eastern Conference landscape? Some draft lottery, some trades, I don't know, whatever we feel is going on. So we'll do on Monday. As always, it's been Locked On Pacers Podcast, and have a great rest of your day.